Well, a peace offering is the last offering to be apprehended. It's because it's the last offering offered during the course of the day. And so, because of that, it's the last offering of the Levitical offerings to be apprehended. And it is the offering which satisfies, it's the only offering in which the entire community shares with God, with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, with the priests, with the offerers, with the offerers' children. I mean, it is this, when you see that, then it sustains you. It's the reason that we were created to eat. Again, I know that's hard for some of you to think about. I mean, but you just got to see that God could have made you and I just be like a tree. A tree that walked around. We got energy from the sun. But we were created to eat and to drink in order that we would, not because God wanted us to eat and drink. He didn't give a shit about that. He wants us to apprehend what true fellowship is. And every time we put food in our mouth or drink to our lips, it's potentially an act of worship instead of just an act of feeding the flesh. And if it's an act of worship, then life comes from it, and you don't eat to as an act of self-indulgence. You eat as an act of worship, and it transforms eating. And that's what the goal of the apprehension of the peace offering is. He's made known unto us in the breaking of the bread. As soon as then we see him differently. He disappears when he's revealed. He disappears because he's in all and in all. He's no more Christ after the flesh. No more an ideal. And that's why it's the last one to be apprehended. But let's take a look at food. Let's just look at food for a while. If Christ is the model, I mean, if the tabernacle was a vain picture of Christ, then the burnt altar was analogous to the stomach or digestive process of Christ. And if we, as he is in the world, so are we, then our stomach is a metaphor, is a picture of that point, of that of that revelation, of that burnt offering, the brazen altar. And if you think about it, what to eat, the word, if you remember in the Hebrew, akal, means to burn. To eat is to burn. And to eat, it provides energy for you to sustain life. It provides energy, it provides sustenance, it provides joy, it provides all of the things. But why do you think there are so many eating disorders abroad, not just in America, over the entire world? Before they were never even heard of. If they were heard of, they were never even considered. There was no public consciousness of anorexia or bulimia or weight problems. You just live. But only now, in the last few years, has there been this massive problem with eating disorders. And the reason for it is it's the Holy Spirit trying to pound into the heads of the people that there's a mystery in the peace offering. You know, it has nothing to do with anything else. And if you concentrate your energies on anything else, you know, then you'll just be deceived again. Does everybody understand a little bit, or disagree, or agree, or?
Sounds intriguing so far.
And Pete's always trying to gain weight. Don and Jimmy are always trying to lose weight. Well, why? all of the mysteries of being sustained, of energy, of fulfillment, are locked in the peace offering, in the apprehension of the peace offering. And all of the problems that are going... Can you think of anything more ludicrous than the massive public consciousness of am I eating the right... I mean, if you really stopped and tried to figure out all the vitamins you should eat and all the minerals and all the isotopes, and it's impossible to know. Well, I promise you, this need that's going on in the entire world for, well, am I eating right? Am I eating this right? I mean, it's the Holy Spirit doing it for us so that we'd understand the peace offering. Understand? A little bit? Does something ring a bell? Does anything ring true?
This all sounds good. Keep going. You're doing fine. We are listening and
Well, I want to make sure that you apprehend what I've said before we go on to the next level.
Yeah, I think I know that. I know free of idolatry, everybody would eat exactly what they eat.
Well, if the you're right, but the you remember the manna?
What is it?
The hell is... But if there was no idolatry and if there was no guilt, the manna satisfied every desire of the heart. So the manna was the type of the peace offering before the law. All of the things about fellowship and communion and eating the bread and sucking on a wafer and all of those things have to do with the peace, you know, at least part, they have to do with the peace offering and its apprehension. But you've got to understand that nothing in the universe can ever have anything to do with you. If you take that as a predicate to life, then you can begin to see. But as long as you believe that things that are taking place have something to do with what you should or shouldn't be doing, then you are a self-conscious being, and if you're self-conscious, you're defeated. Amen. So once you are self-conscious about eating, you are defeated. Now, you can't say, okay, so that means I can eat anything I want to, or that means I can... No, that's license.
There you go, being self-conscious again, just by thinking, you know.
What you do is you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal unto you the mystery, and automatically as you see Christ in these things, then you will be freed from self. Now that's the mystery of the peace offering and how it applies to the individuals. There's nothing more boring. I mean, I can't believe it. Every place you look in American television, in infomercials, in bookstores, is something to do with diet or food. Yeah. Well, doesn't it make you think that the Holy Spirit's probably doing something? Well, what he's doing is what we're about to talk about. Now, we talked about this before, but nobody understood it. Why? Because we talked about it out of order. Let's go to John 4. All of the scriptures about vows in the Bible that Tilton so freely uses, pay your vow, are all about the peace offering. Not about money, or they're all about this peace offering. All of the promises of God that are connected with the vow are about the apprehension of the peace offering. Let's see if we can discern some stuff. I tried to talk about this last night in Bananas, and I got zero, nowhere. Bananas is dull of hearing.
You sounded frustrated before you ever started on.
Well, I'm frustrated because, in my mind, we've already gone through all this. But I see that I did it out of order. Because I didn't look at it from the way the offerings were made during the day. I looked at them from the way they were presented. In verse 31, he'd just gotten done talking to the woman of Samaria. And he'd said that, you know, she said, we worship God here in this mountain, and as you know, they still do. They still have their Passover there. You worship him in Jerusalem. And then he said, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for this Father seeketh such to worship him. And he said, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. I mean, so the idea is that it's not the place, it's not the act of doing something, it's worshiping. To worship him in spirit and in truth means you have to worship him in everything, because spirit is everywhere. Okay, now, so that, all that had happened. And in verse 31, in the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And he said unto them, I have meat or food to eat that you know not of. Therefore said his disciples, one, he's got a bunch of Levites. Therefore said his disciples one to another, hath any man brought him any food? Which one of you guys did it? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now everybody knows that Jesus said, if you have all studied the scripture, said, my food is to do the will of him that sent me. But nobody ever hears the second part of it, and to finish the work. To finish, his food was to do the will, but to finish it so that, again, if we continue this analogy, the last offering offered in the day was the peace offering. So it had, his food was to finish that work. Now, he had to be, by that one offering, he had to be able to perfect forever them that are sanctified. Therefore, we have to see that by the apprehension of that offering of himself, he fulfilled all of these offerings. He fulfilled the meat offering, he fulfilled the burnt offering, he fulfilled the sin offering, he fulfilled the trespass offering. But in this area, he fulfilled the peace offering. So now we can understand why it is that we eat and drink, and why it is we're so screwed up. We're screwed up because we don't understand it, and if we don't understand it, then by definition, eating has to be a self-fulfilling act. It is either self-fulfilling, self-consumed, or it is an act of worship. It's an act of worship when you no longer see yourself, but you see him. That's why I keep saying over and over and over again that the lair is the peace offering. But if it's not seen as the peace offering, I'm going to close the lair.
God's answering a prayer here. You remember, we've talked so much about worship lately. We prayed that God would show us how to worship, and we expected it would be something like that. But in both tithing and in eating, suddenly
it's opened up.
You worship him in spirit and in truth.
Yeah. Wow.
Is the idea of worship is always communal. It's not.
Yeah, you cannot, by definition. God.
Well, I feel a little nervous. You know, we're into stuff that, you know, like I've spent 3 days trying to, you know, remember what it was that I saw about the peace offering.
See, this is.
And I feel, you know, and you know, you talk about it in such
important terms, and you know, a little bit. I guess I feel intimidated. I feel intimidated.
You feel like you've lost something.
This is the same.
Yes. No, I don't know if I feel that. I just.
I understand. Let me. The same thing Harry goes through.
Okay, you left behind.
And the thing is that you got to understand. This is the most blessed position you'll ever understand, is that nothing that I've ever learned about the scriptures did I ever find out by studying. Nothing that I ever learned did I ever find out by intellect, or I found out by being apprehended by it. And so the promise of God is that he will apprehend you.
Praying for something and it's...
Yeah, and it happens with unawares so that we can get no righteousness from it. So, I mean, all of the stars in heaven are hanging on that promise that you will be apprehended by it. You don't have to worry about it. And in the relaxing, then the apprehension comes quicker. I mean, obviously, even in a natural state, if you're nervous or apprehensive, you can't apprehend. That's an interesting wordplay.
That's why you must be in the rest.
And so it's. I mean, everything in the universe hangs on it. The fact that the sun's going to rise tomorrow is less important to God than you would apprehend it. I mean, but it's his business. Okay? And this is 99% of your problem.
What I just heard something, which is, if I can tense up and concentrate and work real hard and get it, I can be righteous. If I can study it, if I can figure it out, I can be righteous. If I'm apprehended by it, there's no righteousness.
Okay. Well, I forgot where we were.
I'll finish the work.
Yeah,
we did that.
About worship, though.
Yeah. The act of an individual either praying or the act of individuals praying, individuals trying to worship, individual is a childish thing to God. It's one of the, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child. Because all of those things are intended to knit us together. It's like I'm not saying obviously their prayer isn't bad. Prayer is always good. Individual worship isn't bad. It's always good. But it's not. Remember, I mean, it's only a baby step to get to the point where there's a body.
At some point, it has to be reflected in your life.
It has to have the outward manifestation of the body, a body thou hast prepared. Yeah. Now. But so what happens is, but worship, all that worship means, the word, the technical meaning of the word is to give breath to. And you know, you guys know yourselves well enough that left alone, you will give breath to, all of us will, to things that are individually important to me. They will end up emphasizing me. They will make me the subject of my sentence, even if I'm worshiping God, because there's no opportunity for the emptying, for the giving. And to God, the pure worship is the mind of Christ. And if there's no place for that, you know, then God rewards success in isolation. He doesn't reward success in isolation any more spiritually than he does success in isolation naturally, in the natural. Spiritual success in isolation leads to death, just as anything else in isolation. But you got to remember, to worship means to give breath to give importance to. What is it that you give importance to? Well, if you analyze what you give importance to, no matter whether it's in the name of God or anything else, what you give importance to is you. Until you begin to worship God in spirit and in truth by apprehending Christ in all these things. And that comes, you could spend the rest of eternity studying the offerings and you'd never apprehend the peace offering if you were alone. It couldn't happen. It's impossible because the peace offering is communal. Peace. All right. Well, let's just start. The peace offering. The word is shelem, shelem. And that's one word is the peace offering, just like. The word for the burnt offering, olah, it means holocaust, but it's also translated burnt offering.
Hmm. Is that like shalom, but shalem?
No, it's from it. It's a voluntary sacrifice in thanksgiving. It comes from shalom, which means to be safe in mind, in body, in estate, to be completed, to be at peace, to be perfect. And the mystery of it is the peace offering is communal. And the root word means to be at peace, perfect, completed. Therefore, you've got to know that you can't be complete, perfect, and at peace unless you're unless it's in a community, in a communal. Okay? Let's just read about it for a minute. Go to Leviticus 3, 1 to 17.
You can't offer it if you're in fear or doubt either.
No, you can't, it's impossible to make it, except in the state of thanksgiving. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, of shelem, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. He shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the kidney, two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now what does that mean? He's just taking the insides of the offering and offered it. It was the Lord's portion. The inner workings, the inside was the Lord's portion. You understand what that means? It means that it's not your business. I'm not.
Yeah.
This is the biggest lesson that you can make. The most important thing that you can see is the inwards, the innards, all this stuff. You remember when we studied this before about what all of these inward parts mean, even to the extent of the kidneys and the, even to the extent of the nasty parts, it's all the Lord's business. It's offered. The priests take it out, put it on the altar, burn it up, it's God's. That's the Lord's portion. It's his business. Does that hit you a little bit somewhere?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So will you quit sitting around analyzing yourself and thinking about whether you're doing something right, wrong, or indifferent? It's not your business. First lesson of the peace offering, in order for it to be communal, it cannot, in order for you to be in community, your inward parts cannot be your business.
What happens if they didn't offer the peace offering?
What?
What happens if they didn't offer?
This is a sweet statement.
Well, I don't
know. I'm trying to think of what happens.
What's the penalty?
Penalty, but there's a correlation between us when we're, you know, there's something that happens whenever, you know, we don't apprehend this, or we withhold offering the peace offering, and
but you can't. I mean, that's the point.
Well, I think there's no community if you don't.
All right, you can't.
Yeah.
You it's can't.
Voluntary. I guess that's really it. You can't have a community.
If there's
maybe,
no peace offering.
I mean, not a real community if there's not, because it wouldn't be complete. If,
the priest
because there wouldn't be worship.
Well, it's the same thing that you can't make a bunch of people have a community.
Right.
A bunch of people have to want to have a community to be one, in the same way you offer the peace offering, only because it's a thank offering.
And so as it's done, the community then is knit together in love.
Except it is required in a couple of places.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Let me go on to what I think a lot of this will come into play but I want us to have the foundation. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if his offering for a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offer a lamb for his offering, then shall he offer it before the Lord. Now, again, so you cannot apprehend the peace. It's without blemish. So, you can't pretend that you're being the peace offering. I mean, the peace offering, there's only been one that's without spot or blemish. So it has to have something to do with Christ. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's son shall sprinkle the blood thereof round about. Let me time out. Round about the offer. Altar, and he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat thereof, the whole rump, it shall he take off hard by the backbone, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It is a food of the offering made by fire unto the Lord. And if his offering be a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hands upon the head of it and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar round about, and he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all of the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul upon the liver with the kidneys, he shall take it away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. All the fat is the Lord's. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood. Well, what happens when you eat animal fat to the natural body? Well, you get fat, but you get cholesterol, and if you're a male, your prostate stops working, and therefore you cannot reproduce. What happens is that if you consume that which is the Lord's, then spiritually, there's no blood it hinders the blood flow to the rest of the body, and the body becomes incomplete and will die. And because you've consumed the fat, the point, I mean, it's stupid as hell. I mean, the design, why would the design be that if you eat animal fat, the first place it's going to collect is in your blood veins, second place it's going to collect is in your prostate. It just goes right there, boom. And everybody has these, you know, men over 40 have these prostates that press upon the what's that little tube called? The urethra. And they can't get...
They can't
ejaculate. They can't get a hard on. They can't get anything because...
Or also waste.
Like, oh, yeah, and then they piss. Pee. They pee and they can't let it all out, and then it stays inside. And pretty soon everything gets all... Because they're eating that which is the Lord's.
What does the fat do? I mean, why would he want the fat?
Because
there's some function about the fat.
Yeah, because the fat is always emblematic of the health or the well-being or the even you might say the prosperity of the being, and that's all God's business. If you eat the fat, it means you've taken it onto yourself. Huh?
I was just thinking about what that implies about the prosperity gospel.
Oh, it's yeah. I mean, the prosperity gospel is so perverted. When you see when that's why I mean I haven't really gotten into, but you know I've hinted at you about that all of the vow only has to do with the peace offering.
Yeah.
But the whole prosperity gospel is eating of the fat spiritually. And I wouldn't want to be in their shoes.
It's like a satanic version of the peace offering where they do everything backwards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, make the vow to get the fat to consume it on itself.
To eat the fat to get the jack to
break the land.
All right, go to Leviticus 7. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil. And again, what's mingled there with the oil is the olive oil, which is a whole other story. And unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour, fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. And if he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord, and of it he shall offer out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. In other words, the heave offering becomes the priest's. You understand that? Anyway.
He gets to eat it.
I know it's difficult to apprehend all of these technicalities, but I want to read them so that then we can go through them so that you can get the picture, okay? It shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings, and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offerings be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that the offered sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. In other words, there's a difference between a thanksgiving offering and a vow or a voluntary offering. Hopefully we can... If it's a thanksgiving offering, it has to be eaten the same day. If it's a vow or a voluntary offering, he can eat it the next day too. Now that's real important. Do you understand why Leviticus is the least studied book of the Bible?
Oh, no problem. Huh? That's the clearest thing you said all night.
But it it's more, there's more revelation of Christ in Leviticus than there is in any other book. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted. It shall not be counted as his offering. Neither shall it be imputed unto him that offereth it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his own iniquity. That's probably pretty important too, don't you think?
Yeah.
Pretty
scary.
Hmm?
Pretty scary.
And the flesh that toucheth any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burnt with fire. And as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. In other words, it doesn't matter if you were Jesus Christ himself. If you touched a dead body, you couldn't eat the peace offering. You could be the most brilliant, the most spiritual man in the universe. But if you were unclean, for all of the things that we've talked about, if you've touched a dead body, if you'd been in the house where leprosy was, you can't eat the peace offering. It's not that you shouldn't, it's that you can't. Flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten, and shall be burnt with fire. And as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. But the soul that eateth of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings that pertaineth unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from the people. Do you understand that it doesn't matter whether you did it in sincerity, that you had this great reason, that you didn't, you know, you have to see that's why it's so important that, I write unto you that know the law, because the law will shut up any attempt at self-justification. And that's why it's so important that we are making our futile attempts to study the law, because it's the only thing that can shut up our mouth. It's the only thing that can shut up, we've talked before that your mind talk, every time you think a thought, your throat muscles move. And so to shut up your mouth shuts up the vain thoughts, the mischief. The only thing that can shut it up is the law. The purpose of the law is to shut up your mouth, to shut up the mind talk, to shut up the self-justification, to shut up the judgments against your brother. It's all because, I mean, this, it doesn't matter if you understood this, it doesn't matter if you thought it was fair, it didn't matter if you did it innocently, it didn't matter if you're sincere, it didn't matter if you did it by accident. If you ate of the peace offering in an unclean state, you were cut off from the people.
What's an example of that with us? We find ourselves separated at that point, and we try and mix those two or something.
Well, let's try to get the whole of the peace offering before we get to the particulars of how it means in our day-to-day life. Moreover, the soul that shall touch any suffice it to say, is if this doesn't scare you into abandoning yourself, nothing will. There's no way that I can do this right. The only way I can do this is to abandon myself. And in faith, believe that he has done it as me. That's the lesson. Am I communicating at all? I can't do this shit. Nobody can. But that doesn't excuse sloth. It should cause fear. The law, which will shut up your mouth, will shut up your mind. so that you can then abandon yourself. You can take no thought for yourself. You can take no thought for tomorrow. Moreover, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing, as the uncleanness of man or any unclean beast or any abominable unclean thing, and eat of the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering which pertaineth unto the Lord, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. And the Lord said unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, ye shall eat no manner of fat of ox or of sheep or of goat, and the fat of the beast that dieth of itself, and the fat of that which is torn with beasts may be used in any other use, but you shall in no wise eat of it. For whosoever eateth the fat of the beast of which men offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, even that soul that eateth it shall be cut off from his people. Again, that's what happens. I mean, the only way back is repentance. The only way back is not to try to figure it out. The only way back is the cross. That's why the cross, that's why we glory in nothing but the cross, because we know the law.
That's great. We glory in the cross because it is the only salvation. There's no way to do all this stuff.
Yeah, and Christ didn't say, remember, Christ didn't say that he came to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it in him. But it doesn't do you any good if you're still trying to get it right. You know, that's the mistake of the Pharisees. They know so little, and yet they're so ignorant in what they, I mean, you know,
they know so little, and yet they're so
eager. No, I mean, that's not what I meant to say, but moreover, you shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be of fowl or of beast, in any of your dwellings. Whatsoever soul it be that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. And the Lord spake, you know, I mean, my problem is, the reason I'm hesitating is that, you know, I want to go off on this hand and that tangent, but I'm going to get through this. So. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, he that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offerings unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offering. His own hands shall bring the offering of the Lord made by fire, the fat with the breast, it shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. And the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. And the right shoulder shall you give unto the priest for a heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offering. He among the sons of Aaron that offereth the blood of the peace offering and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part. For the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offering, and have given them unto Aaron the priest and unto his sons by a statute forever from among the children of Israel. This is the portion of the anointing of Aaron and of the anointing of his sons out of the offerings of the Lord made by fire in the day when he presented them to minister unto the Lord in the priest's office, which the Lord commanded to be given them of the children of Israel in the day that he anointed them by a statute forever throughout their generations. And this is the law of the burnt offering and of the meat offering and of the sin offering, of the trespass offering and of the consecrations and of the sacrifices of the peace offering, which the Lord commanded Moses in Sinai in the day he commanded the children of Israel to offer their oblations unto the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. Now, those are the general scriptures concerning the peace offering. As I said, it's the last offering offered of all of the typical offerings. Accordingly, it is the last apprehended in us. Just, you know, again, you got to remember that in 1989, I tried to teach the peace offering. I will wager that everything I've said tonight, I said then. was 4 years ago. No, 3 years ago. Right. No, it was December. But I'll wager that not, and I'm not, and this is just much, I mean, it's new to me too. I mean, it's that it's as though you never heard it before. Because we studied it out of order. What is said, it's, if from my standpoint, it's taken me now 20 years before I was able to teach on the peace offering. It's taken us 17 years for some of us that we've been together before we're able to hear on the peace offering. Why? Because it's the last one offered in the day, and it's the last one apprehended. But what does it mean? Just think of this. Think of something. If we are in the last day, and if we apprehend the last offering offered the day, then the offering is made by our apprehension of it. That gets kind of ooey-oo stuff. Which is kind of neat. Okay, does anybody have any... What's your feel? What's your sense? Is it boring?
No,
not at all. I remember the last time we talked about it, we may not have understood it, but I remember everybody had a great sense of peace. Just hearing some of the things about it.
Not a sense of peace, and a sense of expectation. Yeah. It's like, I'm hearing something, but I know I'm going to hear something.
Well, I think it's important to know about not eating blood or fat.
That's good.
Especially that prostate part.
Good point.
Yeah.
That's good.
No animal fat. No blood.
Trim those steaks and cook them.
Food menu?
Well, they didn't. I mean, they didn't take the thing and try and get every little bit. It was these big globs of
they probably
stuff.
Did.
You can imagine that during the course of the time that the offerings were made, mm-hmm. every ludicrous attempt was made to do every ludicrous thing. Because if anybody literalized the parable, then they would do the same thing the Pharisees did for all time. And they try to take little teeny knives and cut out that little bubble of fat here and there.
On the other hand, if anybody if anybody eats the fat, he should be cut off forever. I mean, that would be a good motivator back then.
if you didn't see it as a parable.
Didn't see it as a parable, which some of them did.
Some of them back there. Some of those guys back there.
That dispensation.
That dispensation. Again, based on everything that we know, everything I see happening in the world, everything I see happening in the consciousness of, it's time. It's time for the peace offering to be apprehended. And I pray that we will be apprehended by it. By this peace offering, we are fed on the food that no one knows of. They can't know of. Because it's taken us 20 years to get here. You can't just... But it doesn't mean that if someone has only been... If someone comes and they have... And they were one of those where the Lord said, I have many people in the city, they've always been here. But it cannot be understood by anybody outside. You understand? It cannot be. It'll be gibberish, foolish.
It's kind of like apprehended in the process. As you go, it's while you're doing it. That's probably when it overtakes you.
By it we are fed on the food that they know not of, and by it we obtain the peace that passes all understanding. And by it we are sustained. By it we are energized. By it we are stimulated. By it every desire of our heart is satisfied. And by it, we are at rest. We because we don't have to worry about,
nothing.
Yeah. Jack. It is a sweet savor offering and is therefore different from the sin and trespass offerings. Do you know how many notes I have on the offerings, by the way? I got to do something with them. The offerer, God, the priests, and the priest's family, and the offerer's family were all fed, and therefore differed from all other offerings. They all shared that meal. That's what the communion is. And to share in that meal is mind-blowing. You're eating with God.
And usually you didn't share in an offering.
No.
This was the only one that you... That's right. You went up there, you brought your offering, and you actually sat down or whatever they did. I don't know what the thing was, but they ate some, the priest ate some, and God was consuming it in that way.
Now, with regard to the food, we have Christ as the offerer's portion, then God's portion, then the priest's portion, the priest's children's portion, and the offerer's children's portion. Everything is fulfilled. Let's go to Numbers 18.
I just got this picture of like, here this offering has been being made and being passed around, everybody's partaking of it, and here's this altar over here burning while it's all happening. You know, God's consuming the fat, and everyone's consuming the lean, and whatever.
But that's why we have a table to eat of that they know not of. And you cannot eat of the at the table of God and the table of demons. This is what Paul was talking about.
What happened to the blood at this time during this? Where did it go?
Where did the blood go?
During this offering.
Well, it was thrown at the base of the altar.
Then it was burned. It wasn't burned. It was just...
They had a great sewer system in the temple.
Lots of blood.
Numbers 18, verse... Well, let's read the first few verses. And the Lord said unto Aaron, thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary. What's that mean?
The responsibility of anything's wrong.
Harry's reading from his reference Bible.
Yeah, be responsible for every neglect or offense relating to the sanctuary.
Thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. And thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee and minister unto thee, but thou and thy sons... Do you understand why, I mean, maybe we've talked about this, but I think everybody's forgotten. Do you understand that if we didn't have Levites, that we would that God would take your firstborn as the, you understand, you remember that? It's kind of interesting, we've got approximately the same number of Levites as we do children.
That is children.
Smarter. Children are smarter. But it's and again, no, it wasn't planned that way. I mean, same as number of firstborn children. They may join unto thee and minister unto thee, that thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness, and they shall keep thy charge and the charge of all the tabernacle, only they shall not come nigh the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar, neither they nor ye also die. Neither they nor ye also die. And they shall be joined unto thee and keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation for all the service of the tabernacle. And a stranger shall not come near unto you. And you shall keep the charge of the sanctuary and the charge of the altar, that there be no wrath any more upon the children of Israel.
Like when the fire came down.
Well, no, I mean a lot of other things too, but... It's time that we, I mean, We need to know this stuff. We need to apprehend this stuff. And I, behold, I have taken you, brethren, taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. To you they are given as a gift for the Lord to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Therefore, thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest's office for everything of the altar and within the veil, and you shall serve. I have given your priest's unto you, office unto you as a service of gift. And the stranger that cometh nigh it shall be put to death. It's kind of like direct. Yeah, boom. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, behold, I also have given thee the charge of mine heave offerings. Remember, what's a heave offering? It's part of the peace offering, right? And the Lord spake unto Aaron, behold, I have given thee the charge of mine heave offerings of all of the hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance forever. Remember, the word anointing just means to be Christed. This shall be thine of the most holy things reserved from the fire, every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, every sin offering of theirs, every trespass offering of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and for thy sons. In the most holy place shalt thou eat it, every male shall eat it, it shall be holy unto thee, and this is thine, the heave offering of their gift with all the wave offering of the children of Israel. I have given them unto thee and to thy sons and to thy daughters with thee by a statute forever. Everyone that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. All of the best of the oil, all the best of the wine, of the wheat, the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord have I given thee. Now the reason... the priests get a portion of the sin offering, a portion of the trespass offering, a portion of the meat offering, and a portion of the peace offering as their food. That's what sustains them. Now, again, in a practical, in a way that fulfills itself, as you know, you are fulfilled as you fulfill others. That's what the process is. I mean, that's the highest. But in the peace offering, your family shares, the offerer's family shares, and God shares. I mean, it is the meaning of fellowship. It is the meaning of community. It is the meaning of the fox's lair. The others are just for the priest. The priest is the only one that's satisfied by that, by ministering the offerings. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, but the peace offering, you know, we've had the peace offering without knowing it. I mean. Let's see what else he has. All then feed together, finding complete satisfaction. God first has his part and is satisfied, for he declares it to be very good. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Man in Christ as the offerer has his part and is permitted to share it with his friends and family and children. The priest, Christ in his official character, has his part, and he is satisfied, and his children are satisfied with him. Now, we can now begin to see more of the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's this satisfaction that I want you to be hungry for. Now, that's what's lying before us, is the apprehension, so that satisfaction is complete. But it's not just for you. It's for your family. It's for your friends. It's for your children. So that, again, I hate to say this, but I'll say it anyway. When we apprehend this a little bit, then we have something to offer. You understand?
I understand that.
I mean, and it's only when we are of full age that it's time to offer. And it doesn't matter what, you understand that the individual doesn't decide if it's a full age? It's God who decides.
This is a little closer. If you apprehend this is like gospel.
This is the gospel.
This is like good news. And you can't.
It's a lot of bad news to get here.
But it is. It's a.
It starts way back again, though, where the 100% peace stuff and then what the fat means. That you've taken everything in. I keep getting an image of a fat person that's grasping and greedy and taking everything into himself. And the peace offering is giving everything out, not judging it. The sweet savor to God is the giving it without judging it.
And the innards are God's business.
Right, right. It's the total. And that's where everybody shares in it. It's like, it's great. I'm sitting there going.
Which is all the stuff you can't control anyway. Right. If you foolishly try to.
Well, that'll give you a taste.